Hello and welcome to Hollywood Cars. I'm your host, Joe Johnson.
And I'm your sidekick, Dex Pietro.
Welcome, Dex. This is our very first podcast. We are the creators of HollywoodDiecast.com, and today we're going to talk a little bit about TV and movie cars, and a little bit later we'll talk about some of the toys that were inspired by some of the more famous cars we've grown up with. Right now, Dex, I think we are in a golden age of car-related entertainment. Maybe not a golden age. The golden age goes back probably to the 60s. Silver age is probably 70s and 80s. We had a little bit of a lull as far as car-related entertainment goes in the 90s. But now, with movies like The Dukes of Hazzard and Herbie the Love Bug and the Fast and Furious movies, we're in a great, great time for those who love TV and movie cars. Wouldn't you agree, Dex?
I completely agree. I think a lot of that resurgence comes from the success of movies like Fast and Furious that came out with such a huge line of car products, from actual floor mats and stupid steering wheel covers to the actual diecast cars. And I think that was kind of a wake-up call to Hollywood that there's a demand now and an interest for Hollywood cars. And I think the reason for that is because, it's something that you can totally envision, and you've got the actors up on the screen, but you fantasize about what your life would be like if you were inside of the car. What would happen to your character if you actually own one of these cars? And I think that it's becoming a reality when you've got cars that you just need souped up paint jobs and different things, and you can actually live. You can't really buy a Magnum PI Ferrari, but you can fix up your Fast and Furious car and cruise down the street and.
The cars are definitely the stars in these movies. Now, I was lucky to have pretty much grown up in the golden age of car-related entertainment. Growing up, my mother couldn't afford to do a whole lot with us, but so our main source of entertainment was going to the movies, and we'd go to the dollar shows, and we'd literally sit through two or three movies in a row for a buck. And a lot of those movies were these car movies that I grew up loving, like Smokey and the Bandit,
let me
Cannonball
ask you,
Run.
You're talking about the golden age. Are you referring to, like, what period of time? The 80s, the 70s?
I think the 60s and 70s would be pretty much the golden age of car entertainment. And then when you get into the 80s, TV sort of provided all the car stars that we know, like the A-Team and the Knight Rider and Dukes of Hazzard, of course. So I would kind of consider that the Silver Age. And right now I think we're in the Bronze Age with Vin Diesel providing some entertainment.
I'm not
Triple
sure
X
if that's really the best star to mention,
I consider Vin Diesel the Burt Reynolds of the 90s and 2000s.
That means he'll have a short career, I think.
Burt Come Reynolds on. Is a legend.
He's a legend.
He's a god.
Yeah, but then he kind of went a little cheesy, where Vin Diesel may have always been.
I
don't know.
But he is kind of getting attached to some of the cars that, like in Triple X, they had the Pontiac GTO, which was just a spectacular car.
And the Fast and Furious, he had the Dodge Charger.
Exactly. And I'm sure we're going to see
him racing in an ambulance pretty soon.
At some
Cannonball
point, with
Run
Dom DeLuise,
remake.
That's a definite possibility.
If Vin Diesel were to play Burt Reynolds, who would play the Dom DeLuise character in today's age?
That chef. That looks exactly like Dom DeLuise. What's his name? Paul Perdomo or something like that?
Yeah.
There we go.
You think he'll be available?
I don't even know if he could act, but
maybe for catering.
He looks the part. He looks like Captain Chaos.
Where's Chris Farley when you need him?
That's all. There's another great car movie that I don't think people remember as a car movie is Tommy Boy.
Yeah. A lot of abuse to that car.
On my site, Hollywood-Diecast.com, I have a top 10 list of what I feel are some of the greatest car chase movies out there. Now, I'd like to get your opinion on these, and I'd like you to chime in with some selections of your own.
Wait. So you, ahead of time, planning out a top 10 list, and then you're springing it on me now?
You may be gifted at talking off the top of your head, but I need notes.
Really?
That's right. Now,
gonna make me look the fool here.
Let's talk about movies right now. We'll talk about TV shows in a little bit.
So this is your top 10 movie cars, then?
Not necessarily movie cars, just car movies, movies with great car chases, things like that. Now, should I start with 10 and work my way up to number 1?
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
That's the natural progression.
So without further ado, here is my top 10 greatest car chase movies. All right,
wheel of tires.
There you go. Starting at number 10, this is a fairly recent entry, even though the movie came out in the 60s, I think, late 60s. You don't need to read it. I'll tell you.
Okay.
I'll decipher it for you.
Number 10.
Number 10, it's a mad world.
Okay, that's a great movie and lots of cars, but what is there a specific car in there that you're referring to?
I'm not talking about specific cars. I'm talking about car chase movies that feature car chases. So I'm not talking about specific cars. I'm talking about great action sequences, thrilling car chases, that sort of
thing. Well, that's a great one.
If you're asking me to recall cars from the movies, I have a really tough time doing that. But a mad world, I think I covered all the mads, has, I think, some of the most exciting, exhilarating car chases put the film. And there's so
it's
many
right
cars.
It's right up there with Bullet, isn't it?
Well, we'll get to that in a second. But it has what Hollywood is lacking today are these great ensemble pieces. You know, Hollywood used to get some of the biggest stars of the day and put them all together in one film, and Mad World accomplished that. So it definitely
Ocean's
ranks up there.
Ocean's 12 will be on your list somewhere.
What's one?
Ocean's 12 or 11.
Not yet. Well, that's for our top 10 list of great ensemble movies like The Towering Inferno and stuff like that. Now, we're going to stick to cars right now. So just so I don't have to keep saying mad world over, we'll move over
yeah,
to
what's
number
nine.
Number nine.
Now, this movie isn't so much a great car chase movie than it is a gritty cop drama with a great car chase in it.
Oh, my God.
I don't even know if you can call it a car chase.
Before you, I already know what you're going to say for this, but
because you're probably peeking at my list.
Number nine?
Yes.
This is of the greatest car chase?
Car chase scenes, car chase movies.
You're kidding me. So let me guess. You're picking French Connection.
The French Connection
is
number nine on my list.
French Connection is number nine on your list?
Only because...
How can you justify that?
It's a fairly short scene, and the movie isn't really... I mean, I sat down and watched it, and it's not really a car chase movie. It's a cop drama. It's a well-acted, it's a great story. It's a gritty cop drama that just happens to have
it's
a guy in a car chasing an elevated train.
It's a phenomenal movie, but on top of it all, that chase scene is like no other. I think that it's a disgrace for you to put that at number nine.
Well, as we go up the list, you may piss me off
and I walk off of this... Tell me what number eight is.
Number eight.
Number eight, you're going to laugh, Fast and Furious.
Oh, my God.
And
above French Connection.
Yes.
Are you going in alphabetical order?
No, that's a good observation there. No, actually, Fast and Furious, when I first saw it, I didn't see it in the theaters, actually. I saw it on, I think, DVD after it was released on DVD. And the first time I saw it, I thought, well, that was entertaining. But I thought it was, you know, the acting wasn't all that great. And it was kind of a lightweight bit of fluff. But as I watched it on more than one occasion, I began to develop a fondness for it. And some of the action sequences in there, especially the hijack gone wrong scene near the end, I think is just absolutely amazing. And then there's that drag race scene between the Vin Diesel and Paul Walker where Vin Diesel's in the Dodge Charger and they're drag racing, and then all of a sudden that truck comes out of nowhere and Vin Diesel hits the truck. I think those are some genuine thrilling moments.
Yeah, I'd give you that. I think that should definitely be in the top 10 list. But I think what it does more importantly for car movies is that it brought back the need for cars and movies and brought back the fun in that. And I think that was, you know, sorely missing up until that point.
And I think the reason I felt obligated to put it on my list is because it has such a huge following right now. And, you know, kids today want to soup up their cars and put the decals on them. And so that's one of the main reasons I put it on my list is I think it's an important movie in today's era of car movies.
You don't want to, like, alienate the youth of today that may be listening to this.
That's right. I need to reach out to the kids today, the whippersnappers today.
Number seven.
Number seven on my list is the movie Goldfinger. Now, out of all the Bond movies, and there's been 20 done to date, 20 official Bond movies, I think watching the Aston Martin DB5 in Goldfinger with all its gadgets in operation and Bond using all the gadgets during the chase scene, I rank that as, I think, one of the most thrilling moments in movie car history.
Yeah, what person didn't want to be James Bond, and what person wouldn't want that car? That car just, you know, is a perfect fantasy car. You know, it has everything for that pissed off highway driver.
Exactly. And, you know, there's been some really great Bond cars in following years, you know, not to
and
leave out the
bad ones, too.
Oh, definitely. But, like, you know, the Lotus Esprit that turns into the submarine and the Spy Who Loved Me. I mean, that's some pretty great stuff, and that almost made the list. But the Aston Martin DB5 is just such a beautiful car to look at, and with the oil slicks and the ejection seat and the smoke screen.
It was everything. You would think or hope that a spy would have.
Exactly.
Who is, you know, the ladies' man, the ultimate man, and to have that car. And what makes sense, too, is the fact that that car was actually used in the movie properly, unlike other Bond cars, like the BMW that came out in GoldenEye.
It
was just a big commercial for BMW.
Q, in that particular movie, tells James Bond, you know, here are all the features that this car has, and then he drives it from point A to point B and parks it, and that was about the end of it.
You never see any of the toys.
So that was a little disappointing. But, even though Goldfinger ranks number 7 on my list of greatest car chase movies, the Aston Martin DB5, if we were to do another list in the future, would rank really highly on my list of all-time greatest movie cars.
All right, what's number 6?
Number six.
I remember when this movie used to be on cable all the time, and I watched it over and over and over again in my late teens, early 20s. But then I hadn't seen it for a long, long time, and fairly recently I bought it on DVD set and watched
Porky's.
It and thought, this movie's great. No, not Porky's. Mad Max 2, The Road Warrior, I think has some of the most thrilling and spectacular car scenes I've ever seen.
I have no comment. I was waiting for the Tina Turner Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome.
That one didn't make my list. I don't even think his car was in that movie, to tell you the truth. In the first Mad Max, it was featured, and then in the second Mad Max, The Road Warrior, it was the modified version that had the big gas tanks in the trunk and that sort of thing.
See, I never got into the post-war movies, unless Kevin Costner was in it, and so I never really got into the Mad Max movies.
Unfortunately, in Waterworld, they use skidoos and not cars. So.
Are the skidoos later on your list?
No.
Maybe number 3?
When we do
obviously French Connection is number 9.
When we do a list in the future of greatest skidoo movies, we'll bring up Waterworld. I can't even think of any other movies.
Well, there was that one Michael Douglas movie and Albert Brooks remake.
I have no idea.
That had a riveting. I was glued to my chair.
I think James Bond had a ski-doo, too.
Yeah, he did.
But no, so when was the last time you've seen The Road Warrior? Have you ever seen it?
Honestly, no.
Wow.
I was too young to watch that at the time. And then, I don't know. I saw 3.
Wow.
Does that count for anything?
No, it doesn't.
You think less of me now, don't you?
I'm going to have to find a new co-host. No, I'll have to loan you the DVD. It's pretty spectacular. Now, I can just picture you griping as I mentioned number 5, too.
Number 5.
Number 5 on my list of all-time greatest car chase movies, car scenes, chase scenes, is Bullet. Again.
I can only imagine what your number 1 is, Muppets Take Manhattan. Did you see that car?
Does Wonder Bug count?
I bet Chitty Chitty Bang Bang is your number 1.
I don't remember any. Well, there were some big racing scenes at the beginning of that.
Well, okay, why is Bullet
again,
number 5?
Bullet, when I sat down as an adult and finally watched Bullet from beginning to end, again, it was a great acted, a great story. It was a good, gritty cop drama, but it had one chasing that, yeah, sure, lasted
and that
3-4 minutes
Steve
long.
Steve McQueen was no good in it.
No, I said it was well acted.
Okay.
He was outstanding in it. But it's not really a car movie. It's a great gritty cop drama that has a spectacular
you
car
have
chasing.
Something against cops, don't you? Just admit it.
I have a problem with authority. Yes, but no. No, I think the scene with the Mustang and the Charger ranks up there as one of the all-time great moments in maybe just not in relation to cars, but just great movie moments.
For any of you listening out there, I want to reiterate that this is a Joe Johnson top 10 list of car movies.
And you can see this list on Hollywood-diecast.com.
Which is a perfect time, we're halfway into the show, to bring up our producer, Chris, who is taking care of all the technical aspects of this show.
Yes, we'd like to thank Chris Lamprey for helping us out. And maybe we'll have him join in on the conversation one day.
Well,
I know he's a Volkswagen fan, so he can chime in on Herbie the Love Bug.
Obviously, I want to see his top 10 list.
That's right.
I bet it's better than yours.
I don't think they've made 10 Herbie movies yet, so his list might not be complete. I know that people are going to roll their eyes and send me emails about Bullet being number five on the list. But like I said, it's a great gritty cop drama with a great car chase scene. But unfortunately, that's not what the movie's all about. So
you've just insulted everyone going, hey, Hollywood Cars, let's listen in. And now they're like, Bullet number five? What? Hey, okay, let's hear number four. What could possibly be better than Bullet?
People don't usually move to act unless they're complaining about something.
You're just
so I've got to
get
people
like,
to complain about
prisoners
something.
Prisoners thinking your voice is sexy. Yeah, let's listen to this
hey,
guy.
Nah.
Where do we send those emails? Can we get an autographed photo?
Number four.
Number four. Another movie that, as an adult, I just wanted to make sure I sat down and watched from beginning to end because I've seen bits and pieces of it on cable for a couple of decades now. But I finally sat down and watched it and thought, oh, my God, these chases are spectacular.
Cat People?
I don't remember. No,
that was on cable a lot when I was a kid.
This movie, number Firefox. Four on my list, is The Blues Brothers. And
oh, yes, that chase scene is so much better than Bullet.
Oh, going
no,
through
know what,
the mall?
That one's fun because, yeah, it's everything you'd want to do in a cop car. Go through the mall and...
Exactly. And the car in that movie is featured pretty much from beginning to end until you get to the very end of the movie where it just collapses and falls to pieces from the trek that they just made. But that is one of the true car stars, I think, is the Bluesmobile from the Blues Brothers. And, you know, they're in the car.
Do they actually refer to it as the Bluesmobile?
I believe they do. I'll have to go back and double-check that, but I think they do. But that car is featured pretty much throughout the entire film. And it's a great road picture. It's, you know, buddies in a car driving across country.
It was awesome. Almost as good as Blues Brothers 2000.
I still haven't seen that yet. I've lost a little bit of respect for John Goodman, but let's move on.
What about Dan Aykroyd? Before he was already gone.
I lost respect for Dan Aykroyd shortly after Ghostbusters, I think. So, yeah, Blues Brothers is number four on my list. Just that car chase through the mall is absolutely spectacular.
Number three.
I have fond memories of seeing number three in the theater with my family. I remember not sitting near my mother, but hearing my mother's laugh. Just above all other laughter in the movie theater as she laughed at Dom DeLuise's antics. But Cannonball Run is number three on my list. Again, great ensemble cast, great collection of cars. Aston Martin DB5 makes an appearance, which I think might have been the first time you ever see Roger Moore driving the Aston Martin DB5. Jackie Chan. Oh, my goodness, what a great cast.
You were like, who is that guy at the time?
I think I knew of him at the time.
Watch, I would always see him late nights on those Chinese martial art movies.
Well, American movie-going audience, I'm sure, was introduced to Jackie Chan for the most part. But Cannonball Run, just... and Farrah Fawcett just never looked sexier, I think.
What about... Who was that other woman with the low cleavage?
Oh, Adrienne Barbeau. Yes. And I apologize to the other actress in the Lamborghini Countach.
But that, she wasn't showing the cleavage quite the same way.
No, not quite. But yeah. Adrienne Barbeau, she was at her peak
in
that movie. So there are all kinds of reasons why that movie's number three on my list.
But yeah. Actually, that's kind of up there with Mad, Mad, Mad World, which started that whole trend of these... cannonball, point A to point B movies where everyone's in a chase to some destination.
And how great was Dean Martin and Sammy Davis Jr.? They were just hysterical in that Ferrari. And then, of course, Frank Sinatra made an appearance in Cannonball Run 2. But it's amazing how, with a movie like Cannonball Run, the first one, how everything comes together and they put together an enormously entertaining film. And then they do a sequel that just falls apart so badly. Like, they teamed up Burt Reynolds. What was his love interest? Shirley MacLaine was his love interest in Cannonball Run 2. And I actually bought that on DVD, watched it, and gave it away. It was just that bad.
So that's not number two on your list?
No, unfortunately.
Number two.
Number two on my list, another spawner of bad sequels, Smokey and the Bandit. Smokey and the Bandit was almost at the top of my list. We'll explain why the car that's at the top of my list is at the top of my list.
Well, but I think Smokey and the Bandit's great. It should be up there.
Yeah. Oh,
and the whole movie was about the car. And I remember even as a little kid, the two favorite toys that I had were the Smokey and the Bandit, little Firebird, and the General Lee from Dukes of Hazzard.
Oh, sure. And, Burt Reynolds was at his peak during Smokey and the Bandit, just thrilling action. Jackie Gleason, I don't even know where to begin with Jackie Gleason. He was absolutely hysterical in that movie. Just I
no
find myself quoting
him.
No.
And Sally Field, of course.
Yeah, she was adorable in that movie. Frog. And so that's number two on my list. One of my all-time favorite movies. Anytime I catch it on cable, I find myself watching
Burt
it.
Reynolds laugh, would you say?
That's my Burt Reynolds impersonation, folks. All right, let's jump to number one, since we don't have a whole lot of time left in our program.
God,
number
I can
one,
only imagine what movie could possibly be better than Bullet and French Connection as far as car movies.
Number one.
The all-time greatest car chase ever put to film, in my opinion.
No. Again, this list is car chase movies or just car movies?
Car chase movies, basically.
Yeah. Okay.
The number one, and this actually, the car chase makes up, I think, more than half of this movie, is the original, not the remake, but the original Gone in 60 Seconds. Now, I do have to admit about the first half hour, 40 minutes of this movie, it pretty much has the feel of a poorly acted, low-budget porn film. And so I kind of dismiss
that's
the...
That's probably what kept you watching. Oh, I'm sure he's going to pick up some prostitutes soon.
Yeah, sooner or later, I expected John Holmes to walk in or something. But no, about 40...
All day actors, like, I'm expecting to say, you know, this chick or that chick. And you're like,
you think
John
of porn,
Holmes.
You think of John
you
Holmes.
You were, like, wishing. I want to see John Holmes.
That's another topic for another show.
Joe Johnson here.
No, about 45 minutes into the program, the car chase
begins.
You realize
it's not a porn.
Exactly. Hey, there's a car chase in this porn.
That would be a great porno. Is a porno with all these cars
that
in it?
That would be awesome. Yeah. So about 45 minutes into the program, the car chase starts. Toby Halicki steals Eleanor, the yellow Mach 1 Mustang, and the chase ensues, and right out of, within seconds, he slams into a car, and the damage begins on poor Eleanor, and then the chase just continues for about another, literally, 45 minutes. The chase is that long, with some of the most spectacular stunts I've ever seen, a thrilling action. I rank the chase scene in the original Gone in 60 Seconds as one of the greatest car chases ever put to film. It's spectacular.
How come you don't have Gone in 60 Seconds, the remake, on there?
One of the big reasons, I really did enjoy the movie, but one of the big reasons is because they relied heavily on CG.
Yeah,
I mean, there were some great moments, you know, like when the police car is taken out by the wrecking ball and stuff like that. There were some really great moments in that movie, but when it was time for the big jump, and Nicolas Cage is eyeballing that ramp, and he's stuck in traffic, and he floors it, and I'm thinking, this is going to be great. And they use CGI to complete the jump. My jaw hung open, and I thought, what a cop-out. Back in the 70s, they would have jumped the car.
The movie would have been more successful, I think, too.
Possibly.
Would have been
might have affected
better
it.
In the box office, but word of mouth like that spreads.
I enjoyed the movie. I liked Angelina Jolie and Nick Cage, but I think strictly because of that CGI moment,
Scott
it dropped off my
Kahn
list.
That had you. It was like, damn it, if it weren't for him, I would have liked that movie so much better.
It was CGI, strictly was CGI it? that ruined that particular moment for me. But I know that's on a lot of people's lists, and that Mustang Shelby GT500 ranks among most people's lists of favorite all-time movie cars.
Now, I'm surprised you don't have a movie on that list, the Roy Scheider 7-Ups movie.
The 7-Ups. That's one I get a lot of email on, believe it or not. You know, people are always sending me emails about movies they feel should be on the list, and I have to reiterate that my list are movies that impacted me growing up and that I have fond memories of. And there are a lot of movies, believe it or not, that I haven't seen yet that I feel bad about. One of those movies with 7-Ups, the original Italian Job, I've been meaning to get around to seeing. I haven't seen that yet. Haven't seen Tulane Blacktop. Only recently saw Vanishing Point, and there are a couple others I've just seen recently.
Which proves that anyone can get a podcast, say, in Hollywood Cars. You got to catch up on these movies.
I know, I got to get caught up. Which one didn't you see? You didn't see Mad Max. You're getting on my case for not seeing 7-Ups. Like, you haven't seen the Mad Max?
Oh, come on. Your list is horrible, but that's all right. I don't hold it against you. I think that when you see some of these other movies, you know, you got some catching up to do.
I do.
Which is exciting. You don't want to blow your wad and see them all. You want something to look forward to.
Definitely.
Should I even say that?
Probably not.
There's no cutting in the show. It's under my contract.
Well, I didn't realize my top 10 list was going to take up so much time.
Right. But tell me.
In our last few minutes of the program, I want to hear what some of the titles you think should be on this list that aren't.
7-Ups.
Okay.
I definitely think that French Connection and Bullet should be higher up, and not because they're the most known car chase movies either. I think that they're just, you know, phenomenal chase scene movies. And you know, other movies, more recent ones like Bourne Supremacy got a lot of attention for their chase scenes. And when you look at those movies, it's such a cop out to direct a movie and have all these extreme close up, quick editing. Like in today's movies, the action is in the editing. It's not in the actual chase sequence at all.
Right.
And it's a shame that so many people watching movies today are like, oh my God, that Bourne Supremacy, you were in the car and you see him get hit and blah, blah, blah. And it's a shame that you don't see any of the choreography that goes into a car chase scene. They just think you know, having all these quick edits makes up for the action.
That's one of the reasons that Gone in 60 Seconds is so high up on my list, because it's so real.
Yeah. And same thing for French Connection. I'm like gripping onto my handle when I rented that.
You know what I just bought recently, and I kind of regretted it a little bit, but I got a lot of emails about the movie Ronin, and people said
actually that would have been on my list.
Really?
Yeah.
You know what? I saw it and I was disappointed. I didn't think the cars were very memorable, and I thought it was mediocre.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought it was a fun movie, and it was no French Connection or Bullet, but I think that it ranks better than you know, some of those movies on your list. But
I also, you know what I watched recently, too, is Duel. And I get a lot of emails about Duel, that it should be on my list. But I caught about the last half hour of the movie, and it was a snooze fest.
Really? I haven't seen that one.
I just didn't find, you know, getting chased down by the semi, I didn't find it all that threatening. It just seemed like it would have been a lot easier to get away from the guy.
Like so many movies that they make.
Just accelerate.
Yeah, right.
But so that just about wraps up our talk about these car chase scenes. There's so much more that we could talk about. I guess we're going to have to save it for future episodes.
We got other shows. But you had mentioned your email several times throughout the show. But, you know, if people have any questions, how do they contact you?
Well, you can visit my website, www.hollywood-diecast.com. There's an email link on the site. Or if you just want to send me an email directly, send it to joe@hollywood-diecast.com.
Well, perfect.
I get emails from all over the world, and it's really thrilling.
And you can contact me through Joe.
I'll forward any emails you get, any complaints.
I'll give you another email one day, but for now, I like to keep my anonymity.
Anonymity?
Yeah, I can't talk.
Is that a C, anonymity?
It's cold in here.
It is a little chilly.
Can't talk.
Gosh, I was hoping to get into talking about diecast cars today, because that is the focus of the website.
Why should we be on a show called Hollywood Cars? Like, what's our expertise?
Our expertise, it all stemmed from our collection of diecast cars. You know, like I said, I grew up with a love of TV and movie cars. Decided to put together a diecast car collection several years ago, and lo and behold, before I knew it, I became a worldwide expert on TV and movie cars.
Yes. And internationally known on TV as well.
Yes, we've been featured on a TV program in the UK that has aired many times, TV's Greatest Cars.
And many other shows, too, to mention.
Exactly. So, yes, in the future, we'd like to talk more about famous TV cars like the Dukes of Hazzard and Knight Rider and the A-Team Van, and talk about toys and all sorts of stuff.
Yes, and if you have any interjections of how the show should be structured, feel free to email us.
Yes, please email us, and we'd like to read your questions on our podcast. Well, that about wraps up our very first podcast about TV and movie cars,
not too
shabby.
Hollywood
Cars Podcast.
Yep.
Thanks for joining me, Dex.
Thanks for having me, Joe.
We'll see you on the next exciting episode of Hollywood Cars. And be sure to visit our website one last time, www.hollywood-diecast.com. And we'll see you on a future installment of Hollywood Cars, the podcast. Good night, everybody.
Some of the music featured in this podcast is courtesy of The Pod Show, Pod Save Music Network. Check it out at music.podshow.com.
What are you waiting for? Go to Hollywood-diecast.com right now.